Was Charlie Kirk's assassination a setup? By E.J. Ray. A skeptical look at the official narrative. When political assassinations occur, the first casualty is often the truth. The killing of Charlie Kirk, a figure both polarizing and influential, has been presented to the public as a straightforward case. A 22-year-old named Tyler Robinson allegedly fired a single shot from a Mauser 98 rifle loaded with .306 ammunition from roughly 200 yards away, fatally striking Kirk in the neck. Case closed, officials insist. But a closer look at the details reveals more gaps than answers. From the ballistics, to the crime scene handling, to the political stakes surrounding Kirk's rise, the official story begins to resemble not a conclusion, but a convenient script. The ballistics don't add up. The Mauser 98 chambered in .306 rifle is a high-powered rifle, designed for war and later favored by hunters for its ability to drop deer, elk, even moose. At 200 yards, a .306 round remains brutally effective. Standard ballistic data shows that a 150-grain bullet shot from a Mauser 98 rifle travels at approximately 2,374 feet per second at 200 yards distance, with an approximate vertical drop of 7.45 inches. And a 180-grain bullet travels at approximately 2,323 feet per second at 200 yards distance, with an approximate vertical drop of 8.75 inches. At those speeds, a neck shot would normally cause visible catastrophic internal damage, often producing an exit wound or shattering everything on its path, like cervical vertebrae. Yet officials reported a small entry wound with no exit wound at all, an outcome that appears inconsistent with the weapon and ammunition described. The trajectory only deepens the mystery. Authorities have not disclosed the entry angle, leaving the public unable to verify whether the shot plausibly originated from 200 yards or from a closer, different direction entirely. A compromised crime scene. More troubling still is the handling of the crime scene. Multiple detail agents immediately cleared the area after the shooting. The site was never sealed for a proper forensic sweep, and by the next day, it had been rehabilitated. Any homicide investigator would call this unusual. Normally, such a scene would remain locked down for days, with evidence cataloged and trajectory markers studied. Here, the opportunity for independent, thorough analysis vanished almost instantly. Motive. Who wanted Kirk silenced? Why would anyone orchestrate such an operation? Kirk's rising influence among young conservatives is undisputed. He was consolidating a youth bloc that even established Republican operatives struggled to mobilize. His message wasn't merely electoral, it was moral. Kirk publicly criticized bad actors inside and outside the party, including U.S. lobbyists for foreign governments. Most controversially, he accused pro-Israel lobbyists of dragging the United States into conflicts misaligned with American interests. He argued that Israel's borders were so fortified that certain attacks were impossible without internal cooperation. And, in what may have been his most dangerous claim, he demanded the release of sealed Epstein files, hinting at intelligence ties and blackmail operations reaching into the highest offices of power. Charlie Kirk, on Patrick Bet David podcast, open quote.
The Israeli hard-right government has a mandate. They're going to try to ethnically clean Gaza. They are talking about basically removing 2.5 million people from Gaza. After you see women and children burned alive, dragged in the streets, they want revenge. But let me tell you, my pattern recognition over the last 5 years has become sharp. COVID, Maui fire, Epstein. When a story doesn't click, our gut is usually right.
Close quote.
Charlie Kirk on Patrick Bet David podcast, open quote.
I've been to Israel many times. The whole country is a fortress. I find it very hard to believe the Gaza border could be breached. You can't go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that ain't an Israel Defense Forces soldier. Israel was on the brink of civil war. hundreds of thousands protesting Netanyahu's judicial overhaul. Those protests vanished overnight. Now he has an emergency government and a mandate to lead. I'm not saying Netanyahu knew, but we need to ask, was there a stand-down order?
Close quote.
The Epstein hypothesis. If Charlie's enemies wanted him silenced, Epstein was the perfect vehicle. Charlie was relentless on the subject in his final broadcasts. He tied Epstein not just to sexual blackmail, but to active leverage campaigns that he claimed still compromised American leaders. Charlie Kirk on The Charlie Kirk Show, July 2025. Open quote.
The evidence that shows that Epstein was a creation of either Mossad, Israeli intelligence, American intelligence, Saudi intelligence, or maybe he was just a hired gun. Members of Congress are actively being blackmailed. The Epstein playbook is being used on a daily basis. Jeffrey Epstein was not a financier. He was not a hedge fund manager. Jeffrey Epstein was a key player in a multi-decade blackmail operation against the most powerful people on the planet.
Close quote.
What if Jeffrey Epstein was not dead at all, but secretly extracted and protected by a foreign intelligence service, plausibly Israel, to shelter an asset whose leverage threatened powerful networks? If Epstein had been, or still is, serving as a cultivated source of compromise, then the release of the so-called Epstein files would not simply be politically awkward. It could expose covert operations, foreign state leverage, and clients who traded access for immunity. That circumstance would create an extraordinary motive to suppress files, discredit inquiries, and control the narrative. Another troubling hypothesis, it is possible that the operation or pressure to suppress disclosure could have been driven not only by foreign intelligence interests, but also by powerful domestic figures who fear exposure. If members of Congress or other senior officials were themselves compromised or blackmailed through Epstein-linked material, their incentive to keep files sealed or destroyed would be existential. In that scenario, protecting the files and neutralizing a public figure demanding transparency would serve their immediate interest. Denials and counterpoints. This is, of course, a hypothesis, one that some reporters and pundits have raised and which Israeli officials have publicly denied. Yet it answers why, even under intense public pressure and repeated promises to release the files, full transparency has remained elusive. High-profile political figures, notably Donald Trump during his 2024 campaign and subsequently, promised greater transparency and in some instances urged release of materials tied to Epstein. Yet major outlets that have seen portions of the files report they do not support the most explosive spy theory headlines, and significant redaction and withholding remain. When the Mossad-Israel theory is raised, Israeli political figures, including ex-prime ministers and mainstream outlets, have strongly denied any operational relationship. Some investigative reporting likewise finds the files do not plainly confirm the spy narrative. These denials matter. They are an expected public response whether or not covert ties existed, but denials alone do not eliminate the question when documentary access is limited. After all, Israel denied possessing nuclear weapons for decades, only for later revelations to confirm what many already suspected. A theory, not a verdict. None of this proves that Tyler Robinson did not pull the trigger. But the mismatch between the ballistics and the wound, the hurried erasure of forensic evidence, and the high political stakes surrounding Charlie's influence all create a pattern that looks less like coincidence and more like orchestration. The assassination of Charlie Kirk may one day be remembered as the act of a disturbed young man. Or it may be seen as the quiet removal of a political disruptor whose popularity and rhetoric threatened powerful interests at home and abroad. Until officials open the books, release the full data, and explain the irregularities, skepticism is not conspiracy, it is the only rational response. And if Charlie's death truly was the first domino in a house of cards, then the public deserves to know who stacked the deck.